I surrendered to preach when I was 19 years old. And when I first started preaching, I had a lot of opportunities to preach to young people. And, you know, when you preach to young people, you got to look for ways to get their attention. I mean, you're going to get to the Bible, and you want them to listen to the Bible and the things of God. But first of all, you got to get their attention so that they're listening to you, so that when you start talking about the Bible, they'll listen. And so I used to look for ways to get young people's attention. I looked for things that they were interested in, things that they listened to, that if I could work those into my sermon, I could get their attention and then preach to them. And so I did that one time with a song. And I, for the first time in years and years and years, earlier this week, I heard that song again, and I thought about that sermon that I preached. Now, I've preached almost 3,000 sermons altogether. The large majority of them have been here. Almost 2,700 times I've preached in this place. And I keep records of every time I preach and everywhere I preach, and I have never preached this sermon here. And so the Lord just, because of the song that I heard, and then checking the records and figuring out I've never preached this sermon here, I just figured that He was leading me to preach this sermon. And so I'm going to pretend this morning that you're all young people. Amen. Yeah. And I need to get your attention. Now I'm going to go back in time. Because when I was young, many, many, many years ago, there was a group of singers called the Irish Rovers. Anybody ever hear of the Irish Rovers? I think they were from Ireland. And they sung a song. They sung a song they called The Unicorn. And if you saw the sign this morning, that's what I've entitled my sermon, The Unicorn. The song went like this. A long time ago, when the earth was green, there were more kind of animals than you'd ever seen. They'd run around free when the earth was being born, but the loveliest of them all was the unicorn. There was green alligators and long-necked geese, some hunky-back camels and some chimpanzees, some cats and rats and elephants, but sure as you're born, the loveliest of them all was the unicorn. Now God seen some sinning, and it gave Him pain, and He said, "Stand back. I'm going to make it rain." And He says, "Hey, brother Noah, tell you what to do. Build me a floating zoo. And take some of those green alligators and long-necked geese, some humpy-back camels and some chimpanzees, some cats and rats and elephants. But sure as you're born, don't you forget my unicorn." Oh, Noah was there to answer the call. He finished up making the ark just as the rain started falling. Now, actually, I think he finished it at least 7 days before the rain started falling, because the Bible says he went in for a week before the rain started falling. So these guys were off a little bit in their theology. But he marched in the animals two by two, and he called out as they went through, "Lord, I got your green alligators and long-necked geese, some humpback camels and some chimpanzees, some cats and rats and elephants, but Lord, I'm so forlorn, I just can't see no unicorn." Then Noah looked out through the driving rain. Those unicorns were hiding, playing silly games, kicking and splashing while the rain was falling. All those silly unicorns. There was green alligators and long-necked geese, some humpy-back camels and some chimpanzees, some cats and rats and elephants. And Noah cried, "Close the door, cause the rain has fallen, and we just can't wait for no unicorns." The ark started moving. It drifted with the tide. Them unicorns looked up from the rocks and they cried. And the waters came down and sort of floated them away. And that's why you've never seen a unicorn to this very day. You'll see green alligators and long-necked geese, some humpy-back camels and some chimpanzees, some cats and rats and elephants, but sure as you're born, you're never going to see no unicorn. Now, I don't know if God created a unicorn. I think if he did, that they wouldn't have missed the ark, because the Bible says that they took all and whose Noah gathered them two by two, and if God wanted the unicorns, if there were unicorns, they would have been on the ark. So I don't know if God ever made a unicorn, but I do know this. The ark that we read about in Genesis chapter 7 is a picture of salvation. God saw sin in the earth. In fact, if you go back and you read in Genesis chapter 6, he said that every imagination of the heart, everything that man could imagine, was evil. And he did that evil. And God put up with it as long as he could, but God, even God, has a limit as to how long he'll put up with sin. And so he said, I've got to go down and I've got to punish sin. But God, when he brings his punishment, always makes a way of escape. The Bible says there was a man named Noah who found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And God did go to Noah and said, Noah, I want you to build an ark. I want you to build a big boat. Because when the punishment comes, the punishment is going to come in the form of a flood. And when the punishment comes, there's going to be a way of safety for not only the animals that I've created, but for every person that wants to get on that ark, there's going to be room for them to do it. God told Noah, there's going to be three stories in the ark. That pictures the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. There's only going to be one door in the ark, picturing the fact that there's only going to be one way to salvation, the Lord Jesus Christ. Everybody that goes into that ark will be saved from the flood. They will live. But everybody that decides not to get on the ark, and by the way, I think God made room on the ark that every person that wanted to get on could have got on, and there would have been room for them. God's not willing that any should perish. He hasn't changed. I mean, he's that way today, and he was that way in the day of Noah. He didn't want anybody to die in the flood. And so there was room for them in the ark. I know there was room. God wanted them to get on the ark. And everybody that got in stayed alive. But everybody that decided not to get in died. In that passage of scripture we read three times it says, and all flesh died that wasn't on the ark. Of all that in the dry land, they died. And every living substance was destroyed. Every man, every woman, every boy, every girl, every single one that decided not to get on the ark died. There was no escape. There was no second chances. God didn't change his mind. Every single person that was outside of the ark was destroyed. And by the way, why were they destroyed? I'm going to use the song a little bit. Because they played games with God. They played games with God. Oh, and by the way, there are people today. There are probably some people here this morning that are playing those same games with God. I want to mention three of them this morning. The first game the people of Noah's day played with God was the game, God didn't really say that. Oh, God didn't really say that. I mean, here was Noah. He preached for 100 years as he was building the ark. And his message didn't change in that 100 years. There's sin in the earth. God is going to punish that sin. That punishment is going to come in a flood. God's had me build this boat, this ark, as a way of safety. His message was that if you get on the ark, you'll live. But if you decide not to get on the ark, you're going to die. And for 100 years, I can see Noah standing on the framework of that ark before he got the gopher wood on, as he stood on the beams that made up the infrastructure of that ark. I can see him standing on those beams, preaching to people about the judgment that was coming, warning people that the flood was coming. And yet the people of Noah's day played this deadly game. Oh, God didn't really say that. He didn't really say that he was going to destroy the earth with a flood. Oh, by the way, this wasn't the first time that mankind has played this game with God. You can go back to the Garden of Eden, where God's told Adam and Eve, of every tree in the Garden of Eden you can freely eat, but of the one tree in the center of the garden, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, don't eat of that tree, because the day you eat that tree, you're going to die. And mankind played the same game with God back in the Garden of Eden. Oh, God didn't really say that. Now, they had some help from Satan. And by the way, the people in Noah's day had some help from Satan. By the way, the people that play that game today have some help from Satan. Satan comes and whispers to every person, oh, God didn't really say that. And if he said it, he didn't really mean it the way you're interpreting it. He told Eve, oh, no, God doesn't mean you'll really die. What God really means is that if you eat the fruit, you'll be like him. You'll know the difference between good and evil, and your eyes will be open, and you'll be just like God. And so Eve played the game. Well, God didn't really say what he said. And if he said it, he didn't really mean it. And so she took the fruit and ate it. And then she gave it to Adam. And Adam and Eve found out that God did say what he said. And that God did mean what he said. And the people in Noah's day found out that God did say there was punishment coming, a judgment coming. And that God did mean what he said. That punishment came. And I got some either good or bad news for you this morning. What God says today, he has said, and he means it. God says today, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That little word all encompasses all of us. There is not one exception to that verse. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And you may say, preacher, you don't even know me. How can you tell me? How can you make the statement that you think I'm a sinner? Well, let me ask you. Have you ever lied? Don't tell me. I always ask, when little kids tell me they're not sinners, I always ask them these two questions. Have you ever lied? Have you ever disobeyed your parents? Those are two of the Ten Commandments. The Bible says if we break the law in one point, we're guilty of all. And so let me tell you, if you're here today and you've ever disobeyed your parents, that makes you a sinner. Let me tell you today, if you're ever here and told a lie, even a little white one, that makes you a sinner. And the Bible says if we break it in one point, we're guilty of all. And so we're all sinners. We've fallen short of the glory of God. The glory of God is my Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. I can always find somebody that's a worse sinner, a badder sinner than I am. That I could point at and say, well, I'm better than they are. But when I look at my Savior and I compare myself to my Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, that verse is not only true of me, but true of you. We fall far short of His glory. So God says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. God says, for the wages of sin is death, separation from Him. It's not talking about physical death. It's talking about spiritual death. Our sin separates us from our Creator. Our sin separates us from God. And there are people today that play the same game with God. Oh, God didn't really say that. And if He said it, He didn't really mean it. How could a loving God send anybody to hell? How can a loving God, a God who loves people that made people, how can that God send anybody to hell? And so we play the game. God didn't really say that. My dear friend, I got to tell you, God said it. He means it. If you ignore it like Eve did, you'll see. If you ignore it like the people in Noah's day, you will see. Hell is real. Hell was not prepared for mankind. It was prepared for Satan and his demons. And God borrows it for every person who rejects Him. You see, God wants you to be saved. He wants you to go to heaven. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Don't play this game. God said it. He means it. There's a second game that the people in Noah's day played. This is a game that I call, I'll do it my own way. I'll do it my own way. Noah preached, God's had me make this ark. It's the only way that you can be saved. If you don't get on this ark, you're going to die. There's room for you on this ark. You're invited to get on this ark. God invites you to get on this ark. It's the only way that you can be saved. And the people in Noah's day said, well, I got my own idea. I'll try something different. I'll come up with my own plan to avoid death in the flood. By the way, this was not the first time that mankind has played this game with God. You can go back to Cain and Abel, and you can see where Cain played this exact same game with God. God said, after mankind was kicked out of the Garden of Eden, he says, I still want a way for you to approach me. I still want a way for you to come to me. And that way is to come with a blood sacrifice. That way is to come with an animal whose blood can be shed to picture the covering of your sins. And Cain said, well, that's okay, but I got a better idea. I got my own way. Cain was a farmer. He was a good farmer. And he said, I'll bring the best of the fruits of the land. I'll bring the best of the produce. I'll bring the best of all the things that I planted, and I'll present them to God. And surely God will accept the offering of my hands, just like he will accept the blood of an animal. But Cain found out that his way did not work. Cain found out that only God's way worked, just like the people in Noah's day found out that their way didn't work. Whatever plan they come up with, whatever alternative they came up with, if they weren't in the ark, they died. They drowned. They were destroyed. And there are people today that are still playing this game with God. You see, the Bible says in Acts chapter 4, verse 12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. You see, Jesus is God's way to salvation. There is no other plan that works. There is no other alternative that works. Jesus said about himself in John chapter 14, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. The only way you can get right with God this morning is to come through Jesus Christ. When he went to the cross of Calvary, God placed upon him every one of our sins. And when he paid the price for those sins on Calvary, he paid the price for my sin and he paid the price for your sin. And you do not come to God any other way. There are people today who say, well, if I get baptized, then God will receive me. And I talked to Kelsey on Wednesday night. I said, Kelsey, you know that baptism doesn't have anything to do with salvation. It's a way of picturing what you've already done as you've received Jesus Christ. And she said, I understand that, preacher. She's not depending on her baptism to get her to heaven, to get her right with God. She's depending on the Lord Jesus Christ, who she asked to be her Savior last summer. Some people say, well, I'll take the Lord's Supper. Or I'll live a good life. I'll live a decent, clean, moral life. And surely God will deem that everything I need to do to get right with him. Listen, don't play this game with God. You're going to lose. You're going to find, just like Cain did, you're going to find, just like the people in Noah's day did, that it's only God's way that works. You can decide to stay off the ark and try it your way, but they died. They were drowned. They were destroyed. And you can decide today to do it your own way. But I got bad news for you. It's not going to work. You're going to die apart from God. You're going to go to hell. And you're going to live apart from God forever and ever and ever and ever. Say, preacher, you ought not to say that. Why? It's the truth. It's what that book says. I'm not going to sugarcoat it for you. I'm not going to give you an idea that there's an alternative way. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. You don't come to the Father but by him. Don't play this game. You'll lose. And then there was a third game that the people played in the day of Noah. I call this game, I'll do it later. I'll do it later. Noah preached again for over 100 years. I think he was preaching right up until the day that God said, okay, Noah, get all the animals in the ark, get your family in the ark. And I'm sure there were people that heard Noah preach, not all of them, but some of them that said, you know, maybe this guy Noah knows what he's talking about. Maybe it's really true what he says. Maybe God is going to send a flood. Maybe God is going to destroy the world. Maybe I should get on the ark, but I'll think about it tomorrow. I'll consider it the next day. Maybe a week from now, I'll talk to Noah and make my reservation to get on the ark. There was an evangelist that preached all over the country, and for a while during his meetings, he would take a survey as to how old people were when they got saved. At the end of his study, he published a little paper that and said this. He said, of all the people, the hundreds of people I have surveyed that are Christians, over half of them were saved before they were the age of 15. Half of them were saved before they were the age of 15. He says, after 60 years old, there's a single digit, and I can't remember if it was 2 or 3%, 2 or 3% of people that were saved are saved after they were 60. You see, people still play this game today. And by the way, this wasn't the first time in Noah's day that it was played. It's been played throughout history. We can go back to Acts chapter 25, and we can read about a king by the name of Agrippa, who was listening to Paul. And the Apostle Paul preached Jesus to this king. And the king says, he said this, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. He says, I'll hear you again. And it's when it's more convenient, I'll think about the claims of Christ. Well, we read in the book of Acts, and we never find another time where Agrippa came face to face with Jesus Christ. As far as we know, he died and is in a sinner's hell this morning. But people still play this game today. They'll hear a sermon like this and they'll say, well, maybe that preacher's right. Maybe I am a sinner. And maybe the wages of sin is death. And maybe the only hope I have for getting my sins forgiven and getting right with God is to come to Jesus Christ. But I'll think about it later. I'll think about it next week. I'll think about it next month. I'll think about it the next time I come to church. The Bible says, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. I can't promise you a next time. God doesn't promise you a next time. The only time that you have is now. The only time that you have is today. You listen to me. If you've never received Christ as your Savior, you're a sinner. God said that. The wages of sin is death. God said that. The only way to come to Him is through His Son, Jesus Christ. That's His plan. There is no other plan. There is no other alternative. Don't put it off. I mean, today, you have an opportunity to get saved today. You have an opportunity to come to God right now and say, I'm a sinner. And I believe what that preacher says, that the punishment for my sin is to be separated from you. But I also believe that Jesus died for my sins. And right now, I'm asking Him and receiving Him as my Savior. You have an opportunity to do that now. You may never have another opportunity. And so again, don't play these games with God. You're going to lose. You're going to lose. God always wins. He always wins. But here's the good part. He wants you to win too. He wanted the people to get on the ark. He wants you to get saved. He wants you to do it today. Would you? Would you? I don't know everybody here. I don't know how many times you've heard this from the Word of God, but I know you've heard it this morning. And I know that you cannot leave this place this morning without making a decision. You say, preacher, I didn't come to make a decision. I didn't come to decide anything this morning. I just came. No, you're going to have to make a decision. You're going to either decide for Jesus or you're going to decide against Him. You're either going to decide to take Him or you're going to decide to reject Him. Say, well, I would never do that. Well, wait. If you don't take Him, you're rejecting Him. If you don't receive Him, you're saying no to the call of the Savior. So again, I encourage you. I'm not asking you to become a Baptist. I'm not asking you to become a member of this church. I think both of those are pretty good things, but that's not what I'm asking you this morning. I'm asking you to come to the Savior and become part of God's family. I'm asking you to come God's way in God's time, which is now. Now. If you come, we'll take the Bible and we'll show you from the Bible how to ask Jesus to be your Savior. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the truth of it. Help us to not play these games with you, but to, Father, to submit to you and come the way you tell us to come. Please bless this time of invitation. Speak to hearts, Holy Spirit. Help hearts and individuals to be obedient as the Holy Spirit leads. Just work. We give ourselves to you and ask you to do that. In Christ's name, amen.